the other side to open the door and have a clear access. But if, I don't know if you've ever parked there. If you haven't, well, as soon as you get out, you actually step on a curb and then step under a bottle bus tree, and you've got to avoid, I did that tonight, I had to avoid that to get out of the vehicle. So just some thought maybe in the planning or the planners who put that this together, that they fix those, make those bays so they're easily accessible for those people with mobility issues, and that wasn't me.
Thank you, Councillor. Can I have a comment from maybe the Director of Projects, please, on Councillor Fletcher's observation?
Yes, certainly. Those trees need to be cleaned up and pruned right back. That one way approach isn't implemented. So this is the design that formed part of the Steer Street parking amendments. So that one way arrangement isn't in place. So I agree, if you're driving in and you've got mobility issues, that current arrangement is really difficult because you're stepping out of the driver's seat onto the curb. So if those two bays there were to be used as short term, then we wouldn't implement the one-way arrangement. I might just add also another little constraint there is those B parking areas, to sign those with signs on posts won't be possible because you'll have a post sitting in the middle of the car park, which will just get barreled over in a heartbeat. So it would be ground-based painting of time limits on that, just for your awareness.
Thank you, Director. CEO, do you have a comment? Councillor McRae.
Not necessarily against the motion entirely. I think it's a great idea, having slight mobility issues myself. I think 2 hours is a bit generous. I think there should be an hour for those bays, not 2 hours. Just to make sure there's turnover and better monitoring. I don't know what sort of shy business would take 2 hours for ratepayers, but regards to those two A bays, that western entry, you try to exit there against the flow of traffic, it's impossible. It's not a one-way street, but it's problematic trying to get out of there. I tried it myself recently and got caught up in a reverse out. So there may be some sort of need for traffic management flow in that western end.
Just by way of information, if you get a difficult police licensing matter, it can often take more than 2 hours, Councillor. Yeah. Councillor Pearce?
Was the question around the application of the 2 hours, obviously only business hours for the bays?
Thank you for that observation, Councillor Pearce. There being no further questions, Councillor, do you have a rebuttal? Thank you.
I'd just like to acknowledge the concerns brought up by other councillors and encourage them to not let perfection be the enemy of good. And I think this change will be an improvement. It may not result in perfect timely access for every person and people with mobility issues, but I do think it will be an improvement on what we've got, and we can see how it goes, and if further changes are needed down the line, we can look at that. But I think it will immediately solve quite a few of the issues to do with accessing parking to come into the Shire offices. Maybe not all of them, but certainly some almost.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll now put the motion. Those in favour? Unanimous. Thank you very much, Councillor. I'll now move on to item 17, Corporate Economic and Community Services, list of accounts for March. Do I have a mover? Councillor Fletcher. Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Gillies. Councillor Fletcher, would you like to speak? Thank you. Councillor Gillies? I'll put the motion. There being no questions or objections, all those in favour? Thank you, councillors. Item 17.2 on the agenda, monthly financial report. I call for someone to move the officer recommendation. Councillor Pradico.
I move that council receives the February 2026 financial activity statement.
Thank you, councillor. And Councillor Redmond, are you seconding? Thank you. Councillor Pradigo, would you like to speak to your motion?
No, thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Redman?
Thank you, and thank you to the officers for the report. I would like to ask if it would be possible for, at a concept forum in the next few months, that the monthly financial reports come to a concept forum for consideration by council, and we can have a discussion on how the details are represented and how the reports might present it in a way that assists councillors in assessing the financial situation of the Shire a little bit more easily, hoping we can just have a bit of a round table and see what might help people.
Thank you, Councillor. Would anyone like, is there any questions or no objections? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Thank you, councillors. We now move on to item 17.3, adoption of the mid-year budget review. As I understand it, we're resuming, so I don't need a mover or a seconder because we're resuming. CEO, I've received what appears to be an amendment. That's it. Yep. Thank you. So do I need a mover for item two in this?
Yes. So after our workshop on last week,
Wednesday last week,
Regarding this matter, and given that part two of the motion would now be redundant anyway, the suggestion was made by administration that a councillor may like to move the proposed amendment that part two be replaced with the items that we discussed at the council workshop, and that would require a councillor to move it, then it to be seconded, and then it would form part of the amended motion.
So this proposed amendment wouldn't substantially alter the original, although there's a rationale with this.
So the amendment would simply do what part two was intended to do anyway, which is to bring the bottom line back to zero. Given that those top two amendments would make a difference of some $847,000, all of those items there add up to $847,000 and some dollars, whatever the dollar figure is, and would bring the bottom line back to zero. So if council wanted to adopt a budget amendment that meant that the forecast position was back to zero, then this would be the way to do it. It is totally open to council to go with what is already there, although I can't really enact part of that part two because we've already had the workshop and we're already at the April OCM.
Do I have a move to replace the previous item two with the proposed item two? Councillor Redman, are you moving it? As read?
As read.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder? Councillor McRae, thank you. Councillor Redman, would you like to speak to your amendment?
I'd just like to know if we do need to reword that dot point two. To refer to the list of amendments?
Those amendments would be embedded in the amendment, is that right, CEO?
So I don't think it needs to be amended because it's saying adopts the following further budget amendments. So they're the account numbers and the title of those accounts and the dollar amounts that we would then amend the budget with.
So it's embedded in the amendment, yeah. Councillor Redman, any further questions?
Just more of a comment, really. Just that it's never ideal to finish a financial year having not completed all the projects that we set out to do. However, I am convinced that doing that and not dipping into next year's the advance payment of next year's grant funding, ending the year on a zero balance and beginning the next financial year afresh and with all of our FAG monies intact is preferable to the alternative. So as much as I wish that we were able to complete all those projects this financial year, we can't do it without dipping into next year's money. And my view is that this is the best option given the options that are on the table.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McRae, would you like to speak to the amendment?
I concur with Councillor Redman.
Thank you very much, Councillor. I'll now put it to councillors. Councillor Gillies, do you have any comments? Is there anyone who'd like to speak against the amendment and the and the motion in its entirety? So that's dot point one and dot point two.
We actually have to deal with the amendment first.
Oh, yep, sorry. Yep. We'll deal with amendment first. Those in favour of the amendment? Thank you, councillors. So the substantive motion is now a combination of number one on the list and the new part two. Now we have suspension of standing order 9.5, limitation on speeches. So we've resumed the debate. Does anyone wish to clarify, ask for clarification, or add anything, or speak to, or speak against? In that case, I'll put the substantive motion. All those in favour? Thank you, councillors. We now move on to item 17.4, notice of intention to levy differential rates. Can we get that up on the... Oh, it is. Thank you. Thank you. Do I have someone who would move this motion? I'll move it. So, number one, that council, number one, adopts the 2026 statement of objects and reasons for differential rating, and two, endorses the proposed 2026 differential general rates in the dollar and minimum payments for public comment as required by section 6.36 of the Local Government Act 1995, as set out in the following table. I'm not going to read all that, if that's okay, because it's quite apparent to everyone. Dot point number three, advertises and invites submissions from ratepayers and electors on the proposed differential rates in the dollar and minimum payments up to the 5 p.m. Thursday, 28th May 2026, in accordance with section 6.3 of the Local Government Act 1995. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Fletcher, thank you. I do have a question for the administration generally. At the forum last Wednesday, when council were briefed and on this matter, it was, I think, acknowledged by the administration that there would be two models brought back to council for council's consideration, one where the uplift was 4.5% and the other one where it was of the order of 5%. So if I can just get some feedback from council, as we've only been presented with one of the models, one of the proposed models at 5%. Can the administration just comment on that?
So we've presented what our recommendation is in the report, as we are meant to do. However, I believe that the director does have another model that could replace this one if council wanted to go with a different rate rise. Have you got that?
I do have it here, but my screen has decided to die. So I do have the model here, and I'll forward it to Chambers. Oh, helps it. Yeah. Just keep saying your session has expired.
Think the view of the administration was that because this was an advertising exercise, that advertising the higher rate was the best way to go, and then if council wants to adopt something other than that, then council can do that when you adopt the rates and you've reviewed the submission. But if we were to go with a 4.5% and then we determined that we should be going with a 5%, if we've only advertised 4.5%, then we can't change it upwards. You can only change downwards. So that was the reason why we recommended the higher rate rise.
Thank you, CEO. Councillor Fletcher, do you have a question?
Not a question, just a comment on that. Yes, I recall that. I thought that was the final outcome of our workshop last week that on that particular point.
That's correct. I concur with Councillor Fletcher. It's just that I'm confident that the administration acknowledged that there would be an alternative for council to consider tonight, and there is one. It's just that we haven't seen it yet. Councillor McGray.
Yeah, I just going along with what CEO said and Councillor Fletcher. My recollection is that recommendation of administration was exactly that we advertise or put out to public the higher rate, because we do want to bring under that the best value for the ratepayers, and then eventually we'd probably would adopt the model if it was a lower rate. That's my recollection as well.
Yep. So it seems to be that everyone's concurring that that was the case. Yeah. Thank you, administration. So that would be. So this is in answer to my question that there would be an alternate set that council might be able to reflect on. While it's not part of the motion to an either or, but it's there for us to consider. Thank you, administration. So, Councillor Fletcher, I've been able to speak about this, and I get the right of reply if needed. Would you like to speak to the motion? Thank you, Councillor. Is there anyone who would like to speak against this motion? Because if there's no objection, then I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Thank you, councillors. I just want to ask the CEO to pass on my thanks to the author of this report, because I thought it was a beautifully presented report, and it flowed beautifully, and good job. Thank you, CEO. Item 18, in the agenda. 18.1, revocation of CUS1 feedback policy. I call for someone to move the office for recommendation. Councillor Flett.
Okay, I'll repeat that with the mic on, and my apologies. I recommend that Council, number one, revokes policy CUS1, feedback, effective immediately, and two, acknowledges that a customer service charter and an internal complaints management process have been developed.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder for that? Councillor Gillies, thank you. Councillor Fletcher, would you like to speak to your motion?
Yes, and in looking at that and looking at the proposed new motions coming forward, but more importantly, probably the one thing that really, even though this was a very old policy, it gave no time frames as to when answers to concerns or complaints by ratepayers or other people and employees even. There were no time frames given, and I'm pleased to see that in the recommended new policy that all of that's changing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Gillies, would you like to speak to the motion? Is there anyone who'd like to ask a question or speak against the motion? There being no further discussion, those in favour? Thank you, Councillor. Item point 18.2 on the agenda, privacy and information sharing. I call for someone to move the officer recommendation. Councillor McRae. I'll allow that. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Pradico. Councillor McRae, would you like to speak to your motion?
Yes, please. I believe that most policies, if not every policy we have in this place, the CEO should be able to make minor changes to keep up with legislation and other improvements in the workplace, as long as no major structure of the policy has changed, and takes a lot of work from us then, and we can concentrate on other things. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Pradico, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thanks.
Is there anyone who'd like to speak against this motion? That being the case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Thank you, councillors. Item 18.3 on the agenda, CEO Performance Review Committee. I call for someone to move the officer recommendation. Councillor Fletcher.
I move that Council 1 receives the minutes of the CEO Performance Review Committee meeting held on the 25th of March 2026 and 2 adopts the recommendations of the committee as set out in this report.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder for this motion? Councillor Pradico. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Fletcher, would you like to speak to this motion? Councillor Pradico, would you like to speak to the motion?
I support the recommendations from the committee. I think it's we have a committee there in place to report back to council, and with the recommendations, I think it's good. Well done.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have any speakers again? Councillor Redmond.
It's really just for the information of other councillors not on the committee. So the first recommendation is that all members of the CEO Performance Review Committee are to attend Walgett CEO Performance Review Training to ensure legislative compliance and best practice performance review capability, which I totally support. However, I just want to flag that as of currently today, there's only one scheduled instance of this training occurring in Perth. There's no others scheduled for the foreseeable future, and it is not training that can be taken online. I have spoken with Walga, and they've flagged our circumstances and have put forward our a question about whether the training can be taken remotely or whether instead of attending in Perth that councillors from this shire could attend training held at another shire if they decide to hold that training course themselves. I think it's necessary that the Performance Review Committee members need to undertake that training. However, I just wanted to give Council the heads up that there's a very low availability of that training, and it starts quite early in the day and ends quite late in the day, which probably is going to mean probably two nights accommodation just for safe travelling. And I'm hoping that they will soon make that course available online. Just so everyone is all on the same page.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Fletcher.
As having last say on the matter, I fully agree, and I think that maybe Walga needs to look at Zoom meetings. And I mean, I've attended many Zoom meetings where you can have breakout rooms and discuss things, come back and report to the main group as you would in a workshop. It's so simple. And I hope that Walga maybe takes up that initiative and it thinks of people in the country rather than being city-centric.
Good point, Councillor. Thank you. Would anyone like to speak against this motion? Would anyone like to speak for it? There being no more discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Thank you, Councillors. Item 18.4 on the agenda, Family and Domestic Violence Support, Warren Blackwood Region. Do I have a mover for this motion? Councillor Gillies. Would you like to read the motion, Councillor?
That Council, one, supports the development of family and domestic violence, FDV, accommodation and expansion of support services within the Warren Blackwood region, endorses the identification and investigation of suitable sites within the Shire of Bridgetown Greenbushes to support the development of FDV services in the region, commends the advocacy of the member for Warren Blackwood, Bevan Eats, MLA, with regard to the need for FDV accommodation and expanded services in the Warren Blackwood region, and notes that the Shire President and the Chief Executive Officer will attend future meetings of relevant stakeholders as required and provide Council with updates on progress subsequent to any meetings being held.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder for the motion? Councillor Fletcher, thank you. Councillor Gillies, would you like to speak to the motion?
I would. Look, it's encouraging to see a clear focus on strengthening family and domestic violence accommodation and support services in the Warren Blackwood region. This is an area where the need is real and the impact of getting it right is significant. I certainly want to congratulate and acknowledge Bevan Eats, MLA, for his advocacy on this issue. Consistent on-the-ground representation is critical in progressing services like this, particularly in regional communities where gaps can be more pronounced. And this is a constructive step forward, and I look forward to seeing continued collaboration to ensure practical outcomes for those who need these services most. And I just also want to say that I'm really pleased that the Shire President and the CEO have been included in any future meetings, because it was slightly a bit of a dog's breakfast before, and it's such an important issue, and both of you should be there at the table, including potentially other councillors. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Fletcher, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you. Yes, I believe that we do need to take a very proactive approach as a community. There's other community groups here also that are in this space and trying to do their best to get some support, and particularly for accommodation. And up until recently, Manjimup was the only place that had a home for victims or people with experiencing family domestic violence. That is closed. So the only option people have now is going to a hotel room in Bunbury, and of course all of a sudden your support services that you need to envelope or support the people in these situations is not there, and it's not local. So the sooner we keep endorsing or start endorsing some advocacy in this space, I really do commend to every councillor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I just have a quick question for the CEO, if that's all right, councillors. I'm just reading in the background. It's the third paragraph in the background. It says, recent discussions with relevant stakeholders, the Honourable Jessica Stokowski and Mr. Bevan Eats, highlighted the need for place-based solutions in regional areas. And this is to the CEO. Is that absolutely correct, that both the minister and the member highlighted the need for place-based solutions?
Yeah, I believe so. The discussions that were held with the minister, the need for crisis accommodation and a place for outreach services to operate from in both Manjimup and Bridgetown were definitely discussed amongst the stakeholders that are around the table. So yes, I do believe it was it is correct.
Thank you. That's important to me. One other minor question with regards to number four in the recommendation, and this is for Councillor Gillies and Councillor Fletcher to consider. I was just wondering if Councillor Four could read, notes that the Shire President and Chief Executive Officer, brackets, or their proxies, will attend future. Is that a substantial change that we require an amendment, CEO?
No, I don't believe so. I think they can just be done with the agreement between the mover and the seconder.
With the mover, is the mover supportive of
I'm supportive of that. I mean, that occurred anyway at that meeting. The Shire President from Manjimup sent a proxy.
Thank you, councillor. Councillor Fletcher, do you have an issue?
No issue with that suggestion.
Thank you, councillor. Is there anyone who'd like to... Councillor Fletcher, you have a right to now speak to the motion? No,
he's done it.
You've done it, yep. Councillor Redmond.
Thank you. I feel very strongly about this area. It's a small community, and this is an issue that affects a number of my peers, and I would be surprised if there was any individual in this room who didn't know somebody or hadn't themselves been affected by family and domestic violence. Advocacy is the key role that local governments can play in this space, and the more noise we make and the more we ask for, the more chance we have of receiving the support that we need to provide the services that will help keep members of our community safe. At the moment, we have a situation, as Councillor Fletcher referred to, where individual safety can be restricted by their financial capacity. And I don't think that's something that we really want happening in our community. And I noted that one of the outcomes from the recent meeting was the need for more location-specific data. And I would like to suggest that at future meetings, maybe a strategy for how to gain that data and collect the data could be discussed. It could also perhaps be discussed at the Southwest Zone meeting, and perhaps within the Shire of Bridgetown Greenbushes, we have, you know, budget for family services. Perhaps when we're looking at how to spend those funds, we can consider whether data collection on family and domestic violence with a view to propping up our advocacy for funding service could be a good use of those funds. So I look forward to more conversations about this in the future. And I'm glad that it's on the table and that we're talking about it, because that is the first step to something actually happening.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McRae.
Yeah, my curiosity goes to the meeting you had with the Minister. What type of accommodation and how many locations they're talking about? And also, second part is, I was very surprised when they mentioned that this data is too hard to come by. It was hard to work it out. As Councillor Pearce knows, the Police Information Management System, which I used myself 8 years ago, last used, you put a location in, push a button, those are the offences are there, or domestic violence, assaults, everything's there, so I'm surprised they can't provide the information to the committee more easily than they're saying.
CEO, would you like to speak to that, please?
So the issue of data was discussed at length at both the meeting with the Minister and the subsequent meeting. Bevan Eats's electoral officer is contacting the police and the Department of Communities to seek access to the better data. The problem, I guess, with just relying on the police data is that that only is for reported incidents, and without the outreach services being already in any of the towns and not being very accessible to people, the instances of family and domestic violence, unless it is escalated to the police, don't get captured anywhere. So that's the biggest problem in terms of prevalence. And I guess without getting into too much detail, I would see, prevalence as more of a need, more of indicating how much of a service you need rather than actually needing a service. I think it's pretty obvious that with the levels of family and domestic violence that are you know, within the community in general, there is a need for a service, and once you get the service, you will then know more about the prevalence.
Councillor McRae, have you got a follow-up question?
In regards to data, 33 years of policing, and obviously a lot of domestic violence instances I attended. The police policy in regards to domestic violence is that if a person says they were assaulted by their partner, then that becomes a domestic violence assault without any other evidence. No medical reports, no bruising, no marks, no witnesses. To me, and over my career I questioned a fair bit, it skews the data unfairly towards so-called perpetrators, I guess. If you ask the minister, or even ask the commissioner of police, how many of those domestic violence reports end up as a conviction or a court case? It's about 2%. That's one issue you'll have with data, is in my mind that not playing down DV, because I was very passionate about protecting my community when I was policing, it's about their definition of what domestic violence assault will be.
Councillor Pearce.
Yeah, I agree with Councillor McRae. My experience as well. It's only 14 years, not quite 33, but I equally supportive of work in this space. It's sorely needed. But yeah, I'd question any data that's grabbed from this. The definition, if anyone goes and have a look at it, is very, very broad. And although the problem is massive and it does need addressing, just the data, I think, doesn't do justice to the picture. It doesn't capture some events by a long way, because a lot of it's not reported, as we know. But also it does skew the data quite significantly. If you look at when the definition was changed, don't have the exact date, but I think some of the people would be pretty surprised as to what actually constitutes a FDV event. But yeah, that's all. So that's all.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Robinson.
I don't think anybody here really knows my background. 11 years ago, I opened a family domestic violence refuge for women in Sydney, in Parramatta, called Madison House. Subsequently, I opened two refuges, the Blue House and Madison House. My biggest source, if you call them sources, I have to say, use that term, the most referrals came from police, where police would actually drop the female and their kids, actually middle of the night, would just show up on the doorstep and just drop them off to be cared for. The model that we used was just small homes, four bedroom homes, and that was actually well supported by the business and community. Locations were kept secret, obviously, but the other community groups would all have financial input, and they'd also have management input as well, and it was a very very successful model that we had in Sydney. But I support like everyone's comments here tonight. I think we're all very passionate about it, and it's something that's silenced in the community, and I think we need to do a lot more.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Councillor Gillies, would you like to wrap up this? Thank you.
So thank you for everyone's comments, and it's interesting to hear from a policing background. What I would say, and I've been speaking with Bevan about this, because we don't have to try and reinvent the wheel. There are many successful models that are transferable into our space, including leveraging off groups that are already existing. So it's really important for us to not sort of think that it's got to be bigger than Ben-Hur, and that even if we have a moderate starting point, I've been looking at the HOPE, I think it's out of, the first one that I was aware of was over in Narrogin, And I'm not sure if it's closed now, but it was Hope Community Services. And a lot of it, it's not just about the women and children. It's also about offering services. And I know that this may not be palatable to everyone, but it's about demonstrating care of the entire family. And I think that we need to probably, if we're going to do it and be involved in it, we need to be looking at what our best model would be and best practice. So we also look at the offending person, whether it's male or female, and speak to that as well. So I'm passionate about this, and I'm fully supportive of Bevan's, you know, charge, and the fact that he has seen an opportunity, seen where a minister was a bit, I think that she came down here probably under a bit of pressure to come down, batted it back with a fairly standard response, like, we don't have the data. And then Bevan has picked that up and run with it. And I just can't commend him enough. And I just think where we can get behind him, we absolutely should. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. That being the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Thank you, Councillor. Item 18.5, grant funding support request. I call for someone to move the officer recommendation. Councillor Redmond.
I move that Council 1 notes the presentation delivered to Council at its 26th of March 2026 Ordinary Council meeting regarding an externally funded community food security project proposal, and 2, supports the proposal and requests the Chief Executive Officer to agree an appropriate level of in-kind support should the grant application be successful.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Gillies. Councillor Fletcher, you're the seconder. Councillor Redmond.
So without putting us in danger of agreeing on too much tonight, I think food security is something that most of us also feel really passionately about. And there's it's one of those areas where there's not much point in government driving these things when there's not a lot of feelings of support already in the community. So it's really great when we have a community member who comes to council with an idea for a project, he's identified grant funds, and he wants us to back him in that. As I said, after his presentation, Mr. Williams has a track record of successfully delivering projects that are to do with land management, small farm holdings, food security. That's his passion area, and I totally believe in his ability to do something great in this area, and I think that it can only be a positive for the Shire to support that project and be involved and give him a little bit of a leg up.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Fletcher, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, I would, thanks. And again, I think it's probably very important to note the, over the last 2 weeks what fuel security has done to a nation. So let's, and we think that, and we think food security, and we get ourselves put in a situation like that. I mean, it's almost affecting food security because of the cost of transport product, fertilisers, and what have you. So it is a good, I'd recommend the motion. I probably have a question for the CEO, and that is in what level of in-kind support we would be providing to this group, whether he is happy or the CEO is happy with that, and what that looks like, because I think we're still not that clear on that number two.
CEO?
Yeah, so it would depend, I guess, on how successful he was in obtaining funding and what the project looked like. in the end. But in terms of in-kind support, I think the request was more to do with staff assistance in, you know, and you know, some of our work staff maybe doing some minor works and assisting with things like that. So it would more be, and as I said, it's in-kind support, not monetary support. So it would be, you know, some of our staff doing some things to assist the project. It was waiving fees for hall hire and stuff like that as well. Yeah.
Anyone who would like to speak against the motion? That being the case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Thank you, Councillor. Item 19.1 on the agenda, appointment of fire control officers. Do I have a mover for this motion? Councillor Fletcher.
Can we say it as read? I can read it.
I'll accept that, Councillor.
Thank you.
So it's the appointment of Roslyn Edwards, Acting Senior Ranger, and Connor McGregor, Community Emergency Services Manager. Do I have a seconder for the motion? Councillor Predico. Councillor Fletcher, would you like to speak to the motion?
I think it is important that this happens as soon as possible, because we've only in the restricted burn period, particularly an FCO has a role of issuing permits and ensuring they're followed. So I would hope that these two people have that power or those powers under the Act.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Pearce, if you've got a question.
I can word it like a question, maybe.
It's just that Councillor Pradico gets an opportunity to speak to the motion.
Carry on. Thanks. Just on the delegations, register the CEO can. So the idea, when we spoke about this originally, was the staff appointments for FCOs were just done by the CEO. The FCOs for the brigades were done by council. That's the way we generally do it.
So there was a delegation. It would seem from what you're saying there would be a delegation.
It's a delegation under Section 38.
From this.
Of the Bushfires Act.
Would the CEO like to speak to that?
Yeah, I think we were a bit unclear about how that delegation was to be applied. So this was just surety to make sure that we were doing it the right way. I think we need to. We are doing a review of delegations, and we want to put some clarity around those delegations. So this was more. It was a question of do I or don't I have the authority to do it, and rather than take the risk, we thought we'd bring it to council and make sure that it was clearly. That those two were clearly appointed.
Councillor Pearce.
Yeah, I got no issues with it. No issues with being here. I was just sort of more for next time. It doesn't need to come here. Just in the delegations, when we're looking at it, it says about two positions, one chief, one deputy, but we've got more than that as well, so that'll have to be addressed.
Thank you, Councillor Pearce. Councillor Pradico, did you want to speak to the motion?
No.
Thank you, Councillor Pradico. There being no speakers against the motion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Thank you, councillors. Item 20 on the agenda. 20.1, that is, policy PE43, temporary road closure. I call for someone to move the officer recommendation. I think I'm going to move that, actually. I'll move the motion. The motion being, number one, adopt policy P43, temporary road closures as presented. Authorise the Chief